So this Sunday, we're celebrating a special solemnity. Normally, this would be the third Sunday of Ordinary Time and just another Sunday wearing green and of Ordinary Time. But because February 2nd falls on a Sunday and it is a high solemnity, it liturgically trumps the Sunday of Ordinary Time, and you celebrate the feast day of the Presentation. So that doesn't happen very often, but this year, February 2nd falls on a Sunday, so we celebrate with a little more pomp and circumstance the Feast of the Presentation. Historically, the Feast of the Presentation it's been known as Candlemas. It's an annual blessing of the candles, and so that ceremony that we began in the back of the church of blessing of candles that are used throughout the year and that kind of thing, and a procession of candles. And there are two different options. There's kind of the grand procession where you start somewhere else, the whole church goes somewhere else, kind of like Palm Sunday where you go and then everyone processes all together. And then there's kind of the truncated option, which we celebrated today, where you just have a representative group with candles, bless them in the back of the church, and then proceed in. So that's the smaller celebration is what we were doing today. Now, that being said, I don't know if you were eagle-eyed or keen-eyed, but there was one person in particular in that group that did not have a lit candle. I don't know if you noticed that. That was by design. It was intentional. There was a young man named Oliver. He has not been baptized yet. Today, we're going to be celebrating his baptism. And the group that came in, the group who came in with us, in the front row here, those are Catholics who have been baptized but have not yet received the sacrament of confirmation. So they will also be receiving that sacrament of confirmation today. And so that's the representative group. Those members will be confirmed, and those members who are their sponsors, who are kind of our representatives bringing in the candles today. Now, candles in the Catholic Church, we love candles. We use them all over the place, using left and right. Not nearly as much as the Orthodox. You go to a Greek Orthodox church and they have candles and lamps all over the place. But candles played a very significant role within our liturgy, within our mind, within our concept. There's a deep, deep significance there. Pride of place of candles obviously goes to the Easter candle. It's the most significant, most important of candles. The Easter candle represents Christ himself. And in the Easter Vigil, you light the Easter candle off the Easter fire, and then everyone lights their candle off of that to represent the spreading of the light of Christ. And so that's the highest kind of form that we use to manifest, I guess, that using candles as in that imagery. But one of the other things that we use candles for is on the altar. And there's the way that candles are used on the altar, there's actually the rubrics of the Mass kind of describe in pretty a lot of detail of how those candles are used. Now, if you come to daily Mass, you'll notice a regular old daily Mass, I only use two candles. So they're called feral days, kind of the lowest liturgical days of the year, low Masses, not a lot of celebration. But then on feast days, feast days of saints, or feast days of, you know, other feast days throughout the year, you'll notice I'll use four candles, two and two. But on solemnities, all solemnities, and on Sundays, there are six candles lit on the altar. And again, it's called the progressive solemnity, meaning you with the feast day or low days, just two, and then you kind of kick up the notch in the bells in terms of bells and whistles and all that kind of stuff liturgically. Now, why is it specifically six candles? Why not 12? Why not 15? Why not pick a number? There is a specific reason why there are six candles lit on the altar for solemnities. So, and it actually ties back to the Old Testament, to the old temple, to the old Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God being manifest. Exodus chapter 25, if you want a little homework, look that up. Exodus chapter 5, it's the description of the menorah. The seven-pointed, lighted, it's all one piece of gold with, you know, if you've seen a menorah, you see it in like a Hanukkah and that kind of stuff. It's kind of the representative piece of Judaism where you have the kind of the curved candles of the seven, and it represents the 7 days of creation. It represents the burning light of Christ, the burning light of God, a light for revelation. But we only have six candles, right? Not seven, not the 7 days of creation. Where is the seventh candle?
Seventh candle is Christ himself. If you see an altar crucifix, you ever look at an altar crucifix, a well-made altar crucifix, you see the beams of light coming out from the rays coming out from in the center? This is the seventh candle. This is the seventh day. Christ is the light of the world. And so as a priest, priests are supposed to have altar candles so that as a priest celebrates Mass, I'm celebrating the sacrifice of Calvary so that I am looking at Christ's sacrifice and reminded of the sacrifice of Calvary. But it's the Catholic menorah. It's the Catholic lighting forth symbolism of this light of Christ. And so why this feast day, the presentation, when Jesus is presented in the temple, why candles on this particular day? It all boils down to one line from the Canticle of Simeon that we read today. Every priest, nun, religious, we pray this every night before we go to bed. It's kind of like the religious, the priest version of like, now I lay me down to sleep. You know that prayer? This is what priests and religious pray. The Canticle of Simeon. Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. You may, Lord, I'm going to sleep, and if you take me tonight, let me go in peace. I've seen your promises fulfilled today. That's what I pray. That's what every priest, every nun, every seminarian prays every night before they go to bed. But then there's this one line. My own eyes, Simeon's holding Jesus. My own eyes have seen the salvation. I'm beholding the fulfillment of your promise in my hands. This old 7-pound, 6-ounce baby. My own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. It's the light of Christ. You and I, when we carry our candles, when we are baptized, when we see Oliver in just a couple of minutes here, when we see that candle lit off the Easter candle, it's a reminder to us that the light of Christ now burns in a new soul, the way he burns in all of us who have been baptized. And this light for revelation to the nations, the light for going out and showing Christ's light to the Gentiles, that's our job. That's what the end of the Mass is supposed to be. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go in peace. Go be the light out there. That's the sending forth. That's what is supposed to be manifest. And the church over and over and over tries to give us signs and symbols and little clues and hints and reminders constantly that you are the light of Christ in the world. His presence is supposed to be burning in your heart. And if it's not, if it's dimmed or dulled or covered by sin, maybe do something about that. May Christ's light burn and shine forth through us. This time, I'd like to invite Oliver to please come forward.